Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Pastor Dallas, and I personally want to thank you for purchasing or receiving this CD. It is our hope and prayer that our ministry blesses and enriches your life in such a spectacular way that you can noticeably see a change in not just your life, but that change also has a way of impacting and affecting your entire family. We pray the Lord's blessings upon you continually. And as you listen to every word that comes through this CD message, we pray that you will see the transformation of the Lord and sense the power and anointing of the Lord as he was resonating in our fellowship. Now sit back and listen to this.
Amen. This morning our text comes from James. And when you have it, say amen. James chapter 1. I'm going to just jump right in. When you have it, say amen. Amen. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Amen. In our text, James is challenging us to see our trials from a different perspective. How many of you know that sometimes in order for you to see things from a different perspective, you got to get your mind right? You got to go to another level in your thinking, because sometimes what's presented is some rather difficult, amen, to see it as a blessing. So James is challenging us to change our perspective. And this is a tall order, because when you are faced with multiple trials, it's difficult to see that any good will come out of it. How many of you have experienced some things one after another? And as James describes it, he says they are various tribes. They are diverse trials. And how many of you know when you experience one situation of one sort and then another situation of another sort and then another situation, it's almost like you can't catch your breath. How many of you know you get tired? And you get weary, and sometimes you get frustrated, and sometimes you just simply don't understand, because there are so many things coming at you all at once. And so it's difficult to see the value and what you're going through. But look at your neighbor and say, there is value in your trials. Amen. This is why you often hear us say that when you are in a difficult situation, learn the lesson. Amen. I believe in that so to the point that it is actually in my bio as what I stand in Resolute in. I have to learn the lesson in whatever it is I'm experiencing, because in everything that you experience, there is a lesson to be gained. You say, how, Pastor Sean? Ask the Lord. He'll show you. Amen. If you really want to know what the lesson is as to why you are going through what you are going through, all you have to do is tune in to the Holy Spirit, and he will clue you on the areas that he's trying to sharpen in your life. Amen. In the Amplified Bible, verse 3 says, be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith brings out endurance and steadfastness and patience. Now, another word for proving is testing. And testing reveals a person's capabilities by putting them under strain. You know, the teacher knew what you knew when they gave you the test. That was the evidence that you learned whatever the material that they were teaching. They gave you a test. You learn something in a chapter. After that, you got the chapter test. You all remember those little books we used to have in grade school? And you would go through all of those little lessons. And then on Friday, it was test day. And then after test day, after you passed the test, and after we finished all our work, then we could have cookies and all of that stuff. But there had to be a test over what you have learned, because they were expecting a return on what they invested. How many of you know that when you're going through, God is expecting you to learn something because he's taught you something in the test? But you've got to tune into the Holy Spirit to see that he actually is trying to teach you something. He's not trying to kill you, but he's trying to teach you something. So God would allow us to experience trials to test what we believe about him. That's what the test is all about. What do you really believe about your God? You know, we say a lot of cliches. I'm blessed and highly favored. Oh, I trust God. I know him for myself. But when it really gets down where the rubber meets the road and you're going through some things, how many of you know that sometimes you find out that you don't know God like you think you know him? How many of you know that sometimes you're not as faithful as you thought that you were? God will show you what's really on the inside of you. Amen. So he'll allow you to experience trials to test what you believe about him. When we're in a situation, do we truly believe that God is faithful? Go through it long enough, you'll start saying, do you remember my address? Do you remember my name? Let you stay in a trial long enough, you'll be like, Jesus, now I know you was on my street last week. Where are you today? Where are you in this situation? Have you ever felt like that when you're going through? Jesus, where are you in this? How can you be in this? How are you moving in this? Do we truly believe that God will work it out for us? Been in it so long, stuff been going on back to back. Are you going to bring me out of this? See, trials come to test what you're made of. It comes to test how deep your faith really is. Do you really believe what you stand on, what you have been founded on? Do you believe that God is God and that his power is able to save, heal, and deliver, that his power is able to set you free? Do you believe what you confess on a daily basis? Do you believe his word that says, by his stripes you're healed? Do you believe the word that says, I'm the head and not the tail, and I'm always above and never beneath? Do you believe that you are the apple of his eye, especially when people are throwing darts at you? Do you believe that you belong to him? The test comes to try you and what you believe and what you stand on. This is when cliches don't get it. When you're in a test and you're in a trial, this is when you find out that you can't be just quoting everything that everybody else say, but you gotta know him for yourself. You gotta know him in the valley, and you gotta know him on the mountaintop. You gotta know that he's God in your life and that he's God over your situation. You gotta know that he's your keeper. He's your deliverer. He's your way maker. He's your door opener. He's your heart fixer. He's your mind regulator. He's your adjuster. You gotta know him for yourself. This is what the trial teaches you. It identifies what you're made of. James is telling us, if we change our perspective when we're in a difficult place, we'll actually see how God is working on us in the process. Process is a big word, y'all. Process is big. The scripture also stated that when our faith is being tested, we actually learn to endure. Say, look at your neighbor and say, endure. The definition of endurance is the fact or power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way. My. So this means that in order for us to gain this attribute, We can't jump in and out of our process when we feel like it. I'm concerned because we're living in a time of extreme cancel culture. If we don't like what's going on, we jump ship in a minute. It doesn't matter what God says. It's all about how I feel. But how many of you know that feelings can be fickle? You feel this way one minute, and you feel that way the next. Can I get an amen from the women over 50 who understand menopause, that one day I can be smiling, and the next day I can be crying, and the next day I can be sad, and the next day I can be depressed. And then when I wake up in the morning, hey, how y'all doing? Feelings can be fickle. Feelings will trick you out of your blessing. Feelings will cause you to move when you're not supposed to be moving. And when God is telling you to be still, this is why you got to go outside of how you feel and you got to tap into the spirit and find out what God is saying concerning you. Again, the definition of endurance, the fact means the fact or power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way. So this means that in order for us to gain it, we got to stay in it. Amen. This is how sometimes we deal with our situations. Not only will we jump ship, but we'll jump ship in other areas. And we have to understand that this mentality is a sure sign that we need to grow up. When we want to jump ship all the time and don't want to stay around to grow, that means we're not mature. Because it's impossible for God to get the glory out of our situations because we jump out before he has a chance to jump in. Now, we jumping out, and God is saying, I'm trying to get in this ship with you, and I'm trying to show you my glory and my grace. But if you jumping out, what's the need of me jumping in? Example, if we don't like people on our job, we'll find another one. But what if the problem is you? And not them. What if you're the one that's causing all of the chaos and all of the problems because you don't know how to play well in a sandbox and you can't get along with others? What if it's not them, but it's you? And I'm not saying that they're not doing anything, but what if the bulk of it is you? Another example. If the person I'm married to is getting on my nerves, I'll find somebody else. But what if you're the one that's causing the problems in the marriage because you're controlling and argumentative and you're not willing to make adjustments? But again, the bulk of the issue is you. See, it takes two to tango. You see, I've been married to this man, what it'd be, 26 or 27 years, baby. 27 years. And I've been with him for over 30. Not shacking, we just been in relationship. He does not like everything about LaShawn, and I don't like everything about Roderick. But we endure. Therefore, in our older age, as we have grown, we have learned to appreciate the qualities that we both bring to the table because we've endured hardship as a good soldier, and we didn't jump ship when it got tight, but we stayed in the race. And we're seeing it through to the end. This is what enduring does. It helps you to experience a blessing at the end. But if you jump ship, you'll never experience the grace and the glory that will be revealed after you go through the test. If I don't like the pastor or the church, I'll find another one. But what if you're the one that don't want to listen? Or you're the one that don't want to come to church? Or you're the one that's causing all the hell in the choir and in the usher board? What if it's you and not everybody else? Because you're spoiled and can't hang out. I'm just saying. What if it's you and not every? Because we're big on pointing out everybody else. But we never, Deborah, we don't do this. But there's some stuff on the inside of us. And it's chaotic. There's some stuff that needs to be dealt with on the ends. There's some attitudes and there's some frames of thinking that God needs to tap into so that we can be changed and so that we can be adjusted. How many of you know that some of us may be looking good on the outside, but we've shown up ugly on the inside? We got a lot of hatred and jealousy and envy, and there's a lot of backbiting, and there's a lot of lying, and there's a lot of dissension in here. That's why the Bible says there is no good thing. Come on now. But there's some stuff in us. So what if the problem is not everybody else, but the problem is us? I'm just saying, maybe the trials that we experience come to grow us up. Let that settle with you. But if you don't learn to endure, the growth will never come. You gotta stay in it for it to get better. I don't know a track star that stops at the starting point. But if he's going to grow or she's going to grow in her craft, she got to keep coming to the workouts. If they're going to grow in their craft and if they're going to learn to sprint, if they're going to learn to jump the hurdles, they got to stay in the race. They don't look and be like, oh, they didn't got ahead of me. Well, let me turn around. No, the race is still going on. So that means that even if I don't win this time, I'ma still find myself running because one day I'm gonna finish and I'm gonna finish first. But if I stop at the starting point, I'm not gonna grow. I'm not gonna make it to the end. I will never be the champion because I did not keep going. And you can apply that to every area in your life. Look at your neighbor and say, keep going. And just to bring balance to this thing, not that I'm saying you should never leave a situation or it's not time for you to exit or do some things differently, but invite God into your reasoning, because what we are running from may be the process that God wants us to endure for the purpose of growth. You trying to get out of there, but God trying to teach you something. You trying to move prematurely, but God wants to show you something. God wants to reveal himself in a greater way to you, but you trying to get out and hightail it out the door. Maybe he's using it to sharpen you. The scripture said in the Amplifying Bible that trials also produce a steadfast demeanor. To be steadfast means to be firm and unwavering. So if we don't jump ship when we're faced with a trial, our foundation is strengthened because we have allowed ourselves to experience God in our situations. And the only way to become steadfast is to accumulate enough experiences to compare God's faithfulness to doubt. See, I'm not going to get you to shout this morning, but I am going to teach you something this morning. My experience with God produces a strong conviction. See, you can't tell me I don't know them. You can't tell me I haven't experienced them because of the things that I've suffered and the way that he has come into those situations and he has revealed himself to me. My experience produces a strong conviction and it tells doubt and uncertainty to have a seat. This is what experience does. It slaps doubt in the face and says, get back out my face. I know my God and he will deliver. He will set free. He will make me whole. I won't be in this same situation the rest of my life because I know it for myself. I may not be able to quote everything in this Bible, but I know God for myself. I may not know him like you know him, but I know him how I know him. And I know him in the valley. I know him in the trial. I know him on the mountaintop. I know him when I had food, and I knew him when I didn't have food. I knew him on the Dexter bus, and I knew him when I got a Cadillac. I knew him when I was unmarried and I was single in my sin, and now I know him now that I'm married. I know God for myself because I've experienced him. I've tasted him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I know him for myself. He rocked me in the midnight hour when I was in depression. He kept me when I thought that there was no one there for me. And he strengthened me when I thought I wasn't going to make it. He came to me in the midnight hour when I didn't have a job. And then he came to me when I did. I know him in my situations for myself. And can't nobody do what? Take an experience from you. They can take a lot of things from you, but they can't take your experience. So doubt is slapped in the face. Uncertainty is slapped in the face. And it has to take a seat because God's faithfulness has proven itself to be true. That is why all of our experiences with God are not always on the mountaintop. But some are in the valley, because the valley is a low place. For us, the valley are sometimes trials. It's the stuff that people don't see all the time. It's the places where people are not always willing to walk. Some of us always want to be seen on the mountaintop, but to really know God is to know him in your experiences, to know him in your frustrations, to know him when you seems like nobody else is there. That's when you really get to know God for yourself. This is where God becomes known, where he becomes experienced. I don't want just a shallow relationship with God, but I want to experience his glory. I want to experience his healing. I want to experience his power. I want to experience what he can do in my life. I want to experience him adjusting me and making me and molding me and changing me. Look at your neighbor and say, you not who you used to be even last year. And when you know God for yourself, you become unwavering in your faith. When you know him, can't nobody move you. When you know him, you'll say things like, if he did it before, he'll do it again. I might not have it right now. But if God made a way before, he's going to make a way again. You might see tears running down my face, but if he did it before, God is faithful to do it again. A steadfast spirit will say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I don't see how I'm going to get out, but I trust the God that called me. I trust the God that keeps me. I trust the God that directs my path. I trust the God that made a way out of no way. I trust the God that healed my body. I trust him. And so though he slay me, yet, he's a God that has proven himself to be faithful. He's a God that I can trust. He's a God that will take me in the midnight hour and cause me to soar in the morning. He's a God that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all I could ever ask or think. And guess what? It's according to the power that worketh on the inside of me. And so since that power is his, I'm going to trust him with all my heart. And I'm not going to lean to my own understanding, but in all of my ways, I'm going to acknowledge him. And I'm going to let him direct me to my path. He's a light unto my footsteps, a light unto my path. He brings light into darkness. And again, he tells doubt to sit down. Clap your hands and give God some praise. This steadfast spirit will say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. This is what having a steadfast spirit will do. That means if it don't go my way, the deal is still on. If it don't go my way, I'm yet going to praise you. If I don't get my way, I'm yet going to worship you. If I don't get my way, I'm yet going to show up at church. If I don't get my way, I'm yet going to show up in the morning. If I don't get my way, I'm yet going to open the Bible and I'm going to find the word that is going to take hold of what's taking hold of me. I yet trust you, God. So no matter how it looks, the deal between me and you is still on. I'm still married to you because you told me you're still married to the backslider. And so I'm still married to you no matter how this thing looks. And no matter what goes on, I'm still into you. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. This steadfast spirit, this spirit of conviction is a position that can only be birthed through a personal experience. You don't just get this walking up and being a sometime Christian. This unwavering Jovelsa doesn't just come by just showing up on Sunday morning. But this unwavering, this settling in my spirit that God is good and besides him there is none. This settling, this resolute that I have, this declaration that he is God comes through my experience in the valley. This knowing that I have, that God is good and his mercy endureth forever. This knowing that I have, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. This knowing that he is a keeper and that he is a provider is him being with me when nobody else was with me. Him comforting me in the midnight hour, in the secret place. This is a place where I've gotten to know my God. And it can only come through your experience. You can't buy this. You can't buy relationship. You can't buy this tiff. You can't go to the drugstore and say, give me an ounce of faith. Come on. Give me a pound of this and give me a. You can't buy this. But this comes through experience. This is why you can't let nobody mess with you about how you worship and how you get in the flow and how you yell and how you dance all across the pulpit. Don't let nobody tell you how to praise him. Don't let nobody tell you how to worship him. Let them turn up their nose because you get loud. So what? You don't know what I've been through. You haven't experienced the hell that I've been through. And so because I'm coming in here lifting my hands. I'm coming in here magnifying his name because I know what he delivered me from. So when it comes down to it, I ain't going to hold him up. I'm going to give it all to him. I'm going to praise him because I got the right to. I'm free to do so. I've been baptized in the spirit. I've been sanctified through my trials. I got the right to praise him. I got the right to worship him. I've been justified by faith. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ is living on the inside of me. And this life that I now live, I live it through the faith and of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can't stop me. I'm going to give it all to him. And I ain't going to, I'm going to sweat out every curl and makeup will drip because I'm going to give it to him. I'm going to give it to him. Thank you, Jesus. The conviction is birthed through an experience when we saw the hand of God for ourselves. Verse 5 through 8, and I'm almost done, lets us know that even when we're in the situation, if we lack wisdom, we can go to him. If we lack wisdom in our situations on how to make a decision, on what to do, we can go to him. But when we go, we got to go in faith. That there is a way to come to God. Because, you know, some of us think we're real smart. Some of us will come thinking we know. But it behooves us to come and say, God, I don't know what I don't know. I don't know everything like I thought I did. I don't know what I don't know, Pastor Rod. And so when you come into his presence, not only do you come with thanksgiving, not only do you come with praise, but you come with humility, understanding that he is God. And beside him, there is no other. Understanding that he knows all, sees all, and he's able to transform all. Coming to him with humility, with an understanding that he will not always respond with what we want to hear. He's not always going to do what you thought he should do. This God that we have, this God that we are in relationship, will not be controlled. You cannot manipulate God. You cannot command him to do anything. He is God. He's the one that sits high and looks low. He is God. You can't make him. You can't force him. He gonna move when he wanna move. He gonna move by his will. You can ask all day. You can cry all day. But it's up to God what he decides to do, because he is God. Period. His wisdom may be opposite of what we want to do. But if we're rooted in him, no matter how we feel about the situation, we will do, Chrissy, what he tells us to do and not what we want to do. See, this separates the little girl from the woman. I'm not here because I want to be. I'm here because I'm called to be. And my life is not my own. And it's okay. So this separates the child from the adult, the immature from the mature. When you always do what you want to do, how you want to do it, God ain't your God, baby. You are. Let that sit with you. God is not your God. You sit on a throne. But when God is your God, you allow him into every situation and every circumstance, every nick and cranny of your life. You allow him in your finances. You allow him in your marriage. You allow him in your relationship with your children. You allow him on your job. You allow him into how you conduct business. You allow him into how you rule. You allow him into every area of your life when he's your God. But if you're your God, you're going to do everything you want to do and think that's okay. This is where maturity meets immaturity. Because our purpose for going to God is because we don't have all the answers. I'm going to say it again. Our purpose for going to God is because we don't have all the answers, nor do we see what lies ahead. God is the only one who can look through doors. God is the only one who can be in time and look outside of time and decide what you need to do in time. This is how he do it. He moves around. He's able to be in all places at all times. That means he is in 2022 and he's already in 2025. He already knows what's going to happen, because he is everywhere at all times and he consumes the earth. So when you go to him, go already knowing that he got the answer. So when we go to him, our faith needs to be of such that we put all of who we are and what we think we know in his hands. And in turn, he will direct our path. Stand with me. I am done.
Thank you for listening to TGT Speaks, our multimedia voice emanating from the True Gospel Tabernacle Church of Detroit. You can subscribe to us at TGT Podcast on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Spotify. If you like TGT Podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give us a review. And also, if you would like to donate to our ministry, you can visit our website at www.tgtchurch.org and give your tax-deductible donation through PayPal. We really appreciate the generous and tangible love gift of any monetary denomination from our friends and partners. And we commit that your love gift enables us to continue furthering the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your support, and we'll see you next week.